Well, please turn to Mark chapter 4 as we will continue this look at a couple more of the parables that are part of this particular chapter. And so Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. And hear the word of the Lord this evening. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. We have to appreciate these two little parables, the parable of the lamp and the parable of the measure, in the context in which they are given to us by Mark here, because that's very significant. We're in the context of the parable of the sower. And just as the parable of the sower began with an exhortation, listen, verse 3, and ended with an exhortation in verse 9, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the parable of the sower is about how the seed is sown, and yet there's a variety of different responses to the hearing of the gospel. Well, in a sense, you have a continuation of the theme, and on into the other parables that will be here, of the growth of the kingdom and the progress of the kingdom. And here tonight, what's going to be hammered home to us is the importance of how you're listening. Not just to this study tonight, but how are you hearing the gospel? So how are you listening to the gospel? Are you paying attention? And the first verse we come to is this illustration of the lamp. He said, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand?" And then pause there for a minute. We'll come back to verse 22 in a moment. But so he uses the illustration of the lampstand, and it's created a lot of confusion among people because they can't figure out what he's talking about. Now, just to contrast it and compare it, Jesus uses this illustration, and Matthew records it in a different context, different meaning. So keep your finger here, but turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, we'll go back to the Sermon on the Mount a couple times, as well as a few other places. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, Jesus uses the two illustrations of salt and light. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And so you can tell very, very quickly that the point of the illustration of the lamp and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew is your personal light. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Maybe we've heard, you remember the song when you sang as little kids, "Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. I would drive some to distraction if I had us try to sing it tonight here. And Andrew knew I was looking at him when I said that. But at any rate, Matthew's point of the parable is at the individual person. Your light, the light of course Christ in you, but you're the light of the world and you're not to cover it. Now back in Mark, there's a, in the context, it has a different meaning, a different import. And it doesn't come out in, I'm not sure if it comes out in any of our English translations, but there's an interesting part of the verse when it says, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? And actually, to be kind of literal, it's the word for lamp, and it's the word for come. And so the verse really carries the import, does the lamp come for the purpose of being placed under the bushel or under the bed, the couch? Does it not come for the purpose of being on the lampstand? So the verbs there in the text are, isn't the lamp coming to be seen? And in the context of this passage, where Mark puts it, in the context of the coming of the kingdom and the sowing of the word of the kingdom and extending the kingdom, it makes perfect sense. The lamp is the message of the kingdom. And it doesn't come to be hidden or to be hidden under a bushel or under a, under a bed, but it comes to shine. And Jesus as the sower is sowing the seed of the kingdom, and he's bringing the light. He is the light of the world. He's bringing the light to be seen. Now, there's some confusion, because earlier, remember, he said he taught in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, so that there's kind of a hiddenness. And so that's where verse 22 comes in to help us see sort of the progression here. It says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. So that even though during the lifetime of Jesus and during this period of time, there's a sense in which he's concealing his identity, that's not going to be the ultimate case. He will be revealed. He will be unveiled. He will be displayed. The light will shine. And the question is, who will see the light and who will embrace the light and who will come to know it? Let's look at a couple of the parallel passages just to get a flavor of other places. Turn back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. And in verse 26, he says, it's in the context of him being opposed. Some of the same things that happened earlier in Mark, him being called Beelzebub is referred to just in the verse before. But he says, so do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. So the revelation of the kingdom of God is going to be on full display and come in a glorious manner. And even now, even in parables and symbols, it's being revealed. The light is shining and people aren't hearing it. They're not paying attention to it. They're not listening. And just to compare, turn to Luke chapter 8. This is the... that was Matthew 10, verse 26. So in Luke chapter 8 is the more complete parallel to what we're reading here. And we'll look at the whole thing. Well, we'll read the whole thing and you'll see the similarities. So and he also puts it in the context of the parable of the sower. It's in the context of listening and paying attention. And even following this is when Luke records the incident of his mother's. Who is my mother and brothers? Those who do the will of God. So in Luke 8:16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. And Mark says those words here in a moment. And so the point of the parable of the lamp here in Mark, at least, is to say the light is coming to be put on the lampstand so that all may see it. And what is hidden is going to be revealed. And it's important that you pay attention to that, which is why he concludes this little parable with that exhortation, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. The point of the light is to show you the way and to reveal Christ. And the question is, are you listening? Are you seeing it? Are you paying attention? Are you listening to it? Is the message getting through? Because that's critical. And in a sense, you could see the hidden being disclosed and unveiled could be both an encouragement for the believer that that it all will be made clear, and a warning to the unbeliever. The unbeliever can pretend that they're a moral person, but their refusal to receive the light will one day be unveiled and one day be disclosed before the awful judgment of God. But part of the encouragement to the believers in understanding that what may now be hidden is going to be disclosed, and the light coming, is that the light will be victorious. And turn to John 1. In John chapter 1. And we'll pick it up at verse 4. In him, Christ, was life, the Logos, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's the way the NIV put it here. The NIV at home that I had puts it the other way in what's probably in the footnote, what is in the footnote here. And the... No, it's not in the footnote here. The darkness has not overcome it. So that's another way. And the third, so the NIV here has two different versions of it. They like to change it on us without telling us they have. Another way the NIV puts it is, and the darkness has not withstood it. And the word for understood or overcome or withstood is a word that definitely has the idea of a conflict. There's the battle, and the light is in the world, and the darkness certainly doesn't understand it, but the darkness will not overcome it, and in fact, the darkness will not withstand it. The light will be thrown against the darkness. And even as we just compare with Jesus' promise, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You have the idea of the victory of the kingdom that will come through Christ. The light will be victorious. You and I may see that light very dim in our world at times, either in our own lives or certainly the church in the world, or in ones we love, perhaps, but the light will be victorious. We think it's an oncoming train. But for the believer, that's not the case. It's someone coming who loves us to show us the way. So the first parable, the light, and concludes with that exhortation, be careful how you hear, or if you have an ear to hear, let him hear. So it's important to listen and hear the message. And then in the second parable, which is the parable of the measure or the bushel or the basket, begins with that same exhortation. In verse 24, the first part, consider carefully what you hear. So the whole context of all this, of both of these little parables, is, are we listening to the gospel? Are we hearing the message of the kingdom? They're all focused on that. The parable of the sower is, the parable of the lamp is, the parable of the measure is. And what it tells us here in this particular parable goes on in verse 24, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. And again, let me just set that in context with another verse back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 2, because we see a contrast between there and what's going on in Mark. In Matthew 7, it's the context of judgment of others, not in the sense of discernment, but in the sense of overlording it over the others or thinking you're superior to the others. In Matthew 7, verse 2, well, first one is, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So there, in that context, Jesus is using it as a warning not to judge in a harsh, cruel, and unchristian manner. It's not ignoring discernment, because later on he's going to talk about not giving to dogs what is sacred, not throwing your pearls before pigs. Well, how are you going to not do that? Well, you got to know who the dogs and the pigs are. So you got to have discernment. That's not the point of the early part. The point of the early part is when you're standing over another person, considering yourself better. And so if you're very harsh in your judgment, then that kind of judgment is going to come back to you. Now, it's a different message in Mark chapter 4. Here, the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more is, if you hear the word and you get your bushel basket and you take it to the full and you embrace it warmly and vigorously and enthusiastically and you fill your basket with truth that you love, then you're going to be given more. Pour it out abundantly to overflowing. It's a promise of in connection with the warning or exhortation at the first part, consider carefully what you hear. It's the encouragement that if you take in that word richly, you will be rewarded richly with blessings and overflowing. And it's an important exhortation to part of the hearing of the word. And then in verse 25, then comes kind of the warning. So there's the encouragement. Fill your basket, and then God will fill it overflowing even more. And in verse 25 is the other side of that. It's the warning part. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And you may remember that as a very familiar or as a familiar refrain from the parable of the talents. And it's recorded for you in Matthew 25 when the master gave talents to three servants and they were to go invest it. And the one with 10 and 5 and 1, and the one with 10 and one with 5, they invested it and used it, and the one with 1 buried it in the ground. Because he knew his master was hard-hearted and severe and would expect it back from him. And he condemned him and he said, take that away from him. And then pronounced this saying, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And you can see the direct tie-in to the parable of the sower. If your hearts are hardened and the seed just bounces off, what you have is going to be taken away. If it's planted in the shallow soil and it doesn't really take root in your life, it's going to wither and be gone. Even what you have is going to be taken away. Or in the thorny soil and it's choked out by your love of this world, even what you have is going to be taken away. But the one who receives the word, even a little bit, it will be multiplied 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so these two little parables, while they might seem like Mark just sort of dropped them into the middle of nowhere, he didn't. They're very specific purpose here. And the purpose is, from verse 3, verse 9, verse 23, and verse 24, is be careful how you hear. Don't sit in Sunday school lessons or in sermons, even boring ones, and not pay attention to the word. Because if the word finds no place to take root, even what you have is going to be taken away. If it takes root, God will pour into you great blessing and it will produce a marvelous fruit. So let us be careful to give our attention to the Word of God and therefore receive the blessings God has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the reminders of the importance of hearing your truth. And it is so easy, Lord, I confess myself, to get distracted by other things and to not take the time either to meditate on it personally or to think on the word that we hear taught. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would give us hearts that's the good soil, that would embrace these truths, that would see the fruit produced, that would bring you glory. And we might experience the blessedness of knowing our King and seeing his kingdom expand and being part of that ourselves. May you, O Lord, give us that hope and encouragement and hearts to listen and be ready to follow you as we enter another week. And we pray this in Jesus' name.